Can anyone explain to me why Canadian politicians are borrowing media tactics from O.J. Simpson when it comes to answering questions from rebel news reporters?
Kevin, what's your question for O.J.?
Hi, good show, dude. My kid Chris was wondering, do you think it was a bigger feat to break 2,000 yards in one season or slice two necks in one night?
I'm having a little trouble, Kevin, hearing you.
This is Mocha Bezergan with Rebel News, and my question is to Mr. O'Toole. Do you think that natural immunity from having COVID and recovering from it should be an exemption under vaccine rules? Are there any other exemptions would you support, like for religious reasons?
I couldn't hear all of the question, but we've been very clear on our approach on vaccines. Vaccines are critically important. They're safe and effective for use. I encourage everyone to get vaccinated. I've been very public in that. We do respect people making their own decisions about their health care.
I'm having a little trouble, Kevin, hearing you.
Question is from Adam Seuss, Rebel News.
Hello. This debate is an insider's club for the political establishment. It banned Maxime Bernier and the People's Party, even though he's ahead of you and the Bloc combined in the polls. It also banned myself and Rebel News from even reporting until the federal court interjected and said that was illegal. You haven't spoke out against this exclusion. Do you think that all voices should be heard in Canada?
I didn't fully hear the question. The sound isn't fantastic.
I'm having a little trouble, Kevin, hearing you.
Quite frankly, I won't call it a media organization, your group of individuals need to take accountability for some of the polarization that we're seeing in this country. And I think Canadians are cluing into the fact that there is a really important decision we take about the kind of country we want to see. And I salute all extraordinary, hardworking journalists that put science and facts at the heart of what they do and ask me tough questions every day, but make sure that they are educating and informing Canadians from a broad range of perspectives, which is the last thing that you guys do.
No, I don't mind. I mean, people can say what if it's negative or what, as long as they're serious about the question mm-hmm. they're asking, it's easier to tell a joke, but it don't bother.
Fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa or who are holding unacceptable views that they're expressing do not represent the views of Canadians who've been there for each other, who know that following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country.
Next question.
The small fringe minority of people.
Small fringe minority, thousands of truckers, tens if not 100 kilometers long, which is about 60 miles long. Yeah, that's our crime sinister. Good evening, everybody. It is the Fakeologist Show. It is Wednesday. Why am I going to say March? It's January 26, 2022. We do this show Sunday through Thursday between 8 and 8:30 is when we start. And I broadcast live at fakeologist.com/live. And when you go to fakeologist.com/live, you will see we are on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, and our very own fakeotube.com. Fakeotube is my own personal video repository sponsored by Anonymous, who's paid it forward right till May. Very grateful for that person, longtime donor. Thank you for all the donors who keep me motivated and keep the site funded and keep it active. And I am the main editor of this website. As you can see right now, I often edit on the fly. And sometimes I don't put the title right, but there we go. I just fixed a video by Amanda Vollmer, ADV as she likes to call herself. And she is setting straight. Oh, wow, that didn't work. Hold on a sec. Editing on the fly didn't work. Let's see. Okay, it did work. Save and close. As you can see on FakoTube, we have three people watching live right now. Let's just see what Amanda has to say. There are very few people that I recommend listening to. Amanda's one of them. She's going to come on in March, by the way. If you look at my show schedule by going to fakeologist.com/live, you will see as well, we have something planned by johnlebon.com for February 6th. He is bringing myself and IPS onto the show that he is going to host. And he does say he's putting the last half hour or hour on his behind his paywall. He keeps trying hard to get me to create a paywall, which I will not do. Eventually, I suppose, you can listen to the second hour on that. I've been trying to get John on my show, but he is difficult to pin down. But he's welcome to come on anytime. I'm here between 8 and 9 o'clock most evenings that I'm not held up by a snowstorm. The last 2 miles of my drive tonight was a localized snowstorm, which was aggravating. Just when I think I'm going to get home, I hit a wall of snow and a wall of traffic. So it's been that kind of year. But so that is Sunday, February 6th. As you can see, Sunday, January 30th. This Sunday, we should have Steve from Space Busters on. I told him I want, and that is probably going to be an afternoon start. Sunday is when I'm usually available to do an early show. If I have a European guest, Steve is in Denmark, which is 6 hours time difference, then I start the show early. So Sunday, tune in to your email, as long as you're not on Comcast, and you will get an email from me. Let me remind anyone that has a Comcast email address, you might not get my emails from the Fakeologist show. Now, I am going to probably upgrade my email server service to a paid service that perhaps will let my emails through. Fakeologist.com is what happens is these email servers, these big servers, big corporations use a third party to determine reputation of a sender. And if they don't like you, they'll blackball you. My emails might not even get to the server. They'll get to the Google server, but it'll go straight to the spam box. So if you want to get my emails, then you should probably go try some other server other than Google or Hotmail, Gmail or Hotmail, maybe protonmail.com. I don't really have a long list of third-party email servers that I recommend. I really recommend getting your own server. All you do is register your own domain for $10 a year, and then you can usually create your own server somewhere. Other than that, I don't have many recommendations, but other than get away from the big boys. Anyway, so Steve is the creator of, he's the main man behind Space Busters. Now, that's on BitChute and Odyssey. I prefer BitChute over Odyssey. Well, I'll just do a quick search of Space Busters and BitChute. Okay, here's his channel right here. I've obviously been there before. He's got two movies. He just released this one. An hour and a half, so it's an actual movie, and it's called Nano Man, and he just released it yesterday, and apparently Northern Tracy is in there as well, and I haven't even watched this one that he released at the beginning of January called Bill Gates' Secret Bloodline and Boosters Exposed, and so I haven't watched that one either. I told him I'd rather watch a couple of your movies, so you can just add that up. That's 3 hours worth of movies to watch before I interview you. So I just said, why don't you come on this Sunday and we'll talk. And let's see how if I get to these movies. So it's created a self-imposed deadline. And that's why I told him to come on this Sunday. So now I'm going to have to sit down and watch Nano Man and Kill Bill. And all of it is really good. The last big one he does, I think, was on Ivermectin. This other one here is Trust Ultra, Trust Naomi, which is like MK Ultra. Really good. Really, really good. That was an hour and a half. He puts a ton of time into it. I can't imagine making a movie an hour and a half. I could barely talk for an hour on my own show. But just look at his channel. He's also got Germs Debunk Corona. That's a good one. I think I put that on FakoTube. The Church of Virology or Virotology. I think that's a takeoff of Scientology. What else has he got? He's got quite a few really big movies. Okay. Nothing. Okay, here's one. I don't know. I haven't seen this one, Atlantis Rising. But he's been at this a long time. 11 Fairy Planes. I haven't even seen this one. Anyone seen this? Should we just take a quick look since this is a 9/11 blog? He's got the best narration voice, by the way. I don't know his views on 9/11, but I'm sure we're going to get into that. Evidence that fairy tales are more effective than fairy planes.
Startling, rarely seen footage from the Brooklyn Bridge has rekindled the debate on whether the 9/11 used hijacks and fairy planes or simply fairy tales on that fateful day. We'll present you the evidence and let you make up your own mind. First, we need to verify exactly where this footage was filmed from so that we can identify and compare camera perspective with the official flight trajectory and evidence to make sure the buildings could not have been in any way obscuring any fairy plane. Here we see clearly the person is standing left of the Samadurai building. Just further down ahead on his left, we see the distinct 333 Pearl Street.
Nice number, 333.
And as we see a bridge between them, the end of the Brooklyn Bridge. Just to the right of the World Trade Centers from the camera's perspective, the white Tartarian Woolworth building with the distinct green top dome. And just to the left, in front of the World Trade Centers, the black rectangle tower of One Liberty Plaza. Samadurai on the right, Brooklyn Bridge on the left, 333 Pearl Street, One Liberty Tower, Woolworth Tower, World Trade Centers. This is the camera angle we are watching. Samadurai on the right.
One thing about him, he's very thorough with his videos. I haven't seen this one. I'm going to watch it. Obviously, I'm consumed with 9/11, or was before the greatest hoax of our time, the coronavirus hoax. Let me just say hi to the regulars tonight. We've got Parr. He's first. Hate and Destroy second. I guess this is a big deal to you guys. Dirty Benny, hello. Tunax, hello. And who else we got? We got Tiago there. Hello. Good to see you. And Dirty Benny, did I say hello? Yeah, good stuff. And who else we got? Bad Saturday, hello. And Peter Roo, hello. Well, the biggest deal that's going on in Kanuckistan, where I live right now, A, it's freezing cold, really much colder than normal, and with that comes a bit of snow, and then we have a super big convoy that's going through Kanakistan right now. And it's too big for even this true dope crime sinister to ignore. And you saw the comments that that he was giving at the beginning and opening. Let's just see some of the comments on this. This has been circulating all day long, I suppose. Small fringe minority, he likes to call them. I would agree with Trudeau in one sense. I think the majority of people in cities, and this has always been a city, rural, or urban, rural divide, are probably for this this lockdown, mandates, etc. But everyone else in Kanakistan is probably for the most part against it. We haven't really gone through any major cities with the convoy that where I've seen much reaction. So I shouldn't say that, but most of the footage that I've seen, and the main person I'm following is Pat King on Facebook. By the way, I just put a few comments in. I just put a few comments from the GoFundMe truckers convoy. And I took that and I put it in Pat King's group. And I got banned on Telegram for, I don't know, 24 hours. So Telegram, even though it's supposed to be wide open, I suppose if you complain and mark something as spam, and their moderators at Telegram agree, then you're going to get frozen, which is, again, it's one of the reasons why I just don't like to give too much effort to these other bloody platforms. Now, the GoFundMe was shooting towards 6 million this morning, and I made a post on that. Let's see if I can find the link. Okay, there's the link. I'm going to bring it up, see if it is it. Okay, it's almost 6 million. I think it's still rolling. I think it's still happening. It's kind of interesting. I found another GoFundMe with this guy's name on it, BJ Dichter. I can't remember what it was about, but this guy has been doing, he's got something else going on. It's the other one. What's this one here? Oh, right. Yeah, Operation Killsmith. Or Kill Switch, rather. This is interesting how... This is what I love about the internet. What was I doing? Somebody tweeted me... I found the Twitter of this person here. Okay, where is it here? Sorry, I'm all over the map today, guys. Bear with me. Bear with me here. I was looking at the lady who's fundraising, Tamara somebody. Here it is. Okay, so Tamara Litch. I looked her up. I found her Twitter. When I found her Twitter, I went through her timeline, and she linked to this guy, Tom. Oh, what the hell is his name? It's this guy here. Tom Quiggin, who I've never heard of. And he has a podcast. So I listened to that today. And I'll play a bit of it right now. And I put this as episode 146, Why Trudeau is Destroying Canada. Now, I don't know who any of these people are. We take everyone that is put before us with a grain of salt. But this guy has a pretty good episode, where he's basically talking about what's going on in Canada. And I think he's totally right. So let me play a bit of this.
The next election in Canada may be the last one that matters.
And I said that too. I think there's a good chance there won't be any more elections. I said that before, and I'm going to say it again, because now we have a complete takeover. Canada is captured. And the purpose of capturing Canada, where we don't have any real opposition, they're not really using the parliamentary system anymore. They're slowly getting away from it. And we're going to go to one party rule, uniparty, like the CCP. That's the plan for Canada. And we are going to go into, they want Canada to be the first post-nation state. In other words, the concept of Canada is going to be done. Where we're going to merge into this one world order, we'll be the first country to basically follow all the technocratic guidelines and social order, social policies to make this a model country where we're switching from a sovereign country where we act on our own behalf and use our own resources for our own people to submit our country, our resources to the world. Now, it's already happening with corporatism, and all our resources are just leaving our country without any benefit to the natives. And that really is the whole purpose of the New World Order, where the whole world belongs to everybody. They want to get rid of nationalism. So any leader that sounds like they're doing something for the country, and Trump sort of started off like that, where he said, I want to bring jobs back to the U.S., and he started off strong, but that quickly went away as they just, even if it was by design, even if he was just the straw man that they were going to shoot down, that quickly disappeared. So any person, leader, anything organic that may seem organic, that is for just the country and not for the New World Order and all the rules, they will quickly be eliminated. Character assassinated. I don't think physically assassinated, but they'll be put away. But that is the plan for Canada, to take us to be the first post-nation, post-sovereign state and make it the model for demolishing all the countries' sovereignty around the world and merging it into this new world, one world order. Well, that's what is going to happen. Now, they're using the virus as an excuse, pandemic laws, to completely reorganize society, keep people in a state of fear while they're reorganizing behind the scenes. And this is a well planned. And this podcast, Quiggin Report, he actually did a pretty good job explaining that.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and others around him are steadily moving Canada towards being a one-party democracy where only the Liberal Party matters and everything else becomes irrelevant. Justin Trudeau has been the subject of years of brutal criticism on a series of policy areas. Among the terms used to describe him have been ineffective, stupid, callous, divisive, and racist. And those were some of the kinder ones. Other comments on social media have made a variety of suggestions on what could be done to dispose of him. Notwithstanding this criticism, however, Justin Trudeau was re-elected for the third time in September of 2021. He was elected despite a series of corruption scandals, massive debts, indecisions on major files, and personal accusations of sexual misconduct, as well as multiple cases of blackface being revealed.
All super minor speed bumps that did nothing, and I mean nothing, to discredit the guy. It really made no difference. So let me just click on here, and let's just take a look at his last show, which is 14 minutes. This is the Freedom Convoy. He actually addresses the Freedom Convoy.
The Truckers Freedom Convoy 2022 is headed for Ottawa. The planned arrival date is the 28th of January, and the kickoff events are aimed for the 29th of January. What is this all about? Canadians have watched their freedoms and rights erode and their financial security evaporate since Justin Trudeau was elected in 2015. Carbon taxes, combined with massive overspending and debt, have driven Canadians to the wall. Elected again in 2021, with only 20% of registered voters actually supporting him, Justin Trudeau is prime minister for yet another 4 years. The other 80% of Canadians have been forced into silence and submission. There is, of course, no effective opposition party in the Canadian Parliament to address any of this. The Conservative Party, under Erin O'Toole, supports the carbon tax. They support the gun grab. They ran in the last election on a national vaccine mandate, and The party is both globalist and Islamist in its orientation. It is liberal light, Trudeau, but without the nice hair. If you do not believe me, if you do not think the Conservative Party opposition is useless, then I have a question for you. Riddle me this one. 2 years into this pandemic mess, who is the Conservative Party member of parliament who is the shadow minister for health?
Anyway, that is, it's a pretty good report. It's Canada centric. Obviously, I'm in Canada, so I'm interested in that. But take a listen to that, the Quiggin report. And apparently, this guy, what's his name? Tom Quiggin is being targeted by somebody with Lawfare because they don't like what he has to say. And same guy who was involved with the trucker GoFundMe, BJ Dichter, is also raising money for this guy. I just thought that was interesting. I don't know what it means. These are just some connections that anyone can make. It's not hard to do research if you're looking. I wasn't really looking, but it did catch my eye because yesterday I thought that's an interesting name, BJ Dichter. And I don't know who he is. But he's involved with this guy who is telling the truth, I think. He has this book that he wrote, The Danger of Political Islam to Canada. I don't understand that line of thinking. I think that's misdirection and a distraction. I don't think Islam is a big deal in Canada, but apparently this guy does. I think it really is to distract people. Especially since they bring in Muslims in 9/11, and we all know that had nothing to do with it. But that was the narrative that people were most likely willing to buy into. So that's what they promoted because they know that's what people believe. And there's just so much else going on. I don't think Islam is a major thing, but this is what this guy does. So, yeah, might want to look into this guy. This guy's raised a lot of money, 50 grand. Which is a lot of money, and the same guys behind it. So that was my research for the day, listening to this guy. And yeah, the GoFundMe is apparently they're not releasing the money at this time. Hopefully whoever these two people are the real deal. But anytime you raise that kind of money, there are going to be questions and there's going to be all kinds of negative media. Apparently they went, oh, look at this. This is funny. David Fisman. Now this guy is this name. I don't know if this is the right person. This guy is now the top donor. David Fisman is supposed to be the public health crat. This guy. David Fisman is a University of Toronto professor. So he's one of the public health crats that's allegedly donated to the GoFundMe. Now, I'm blocked, as you can see from this guy, because I might have put a couple tweets. Nothing really negative. So I can't even see. You can see his thing called the grifter. So he thinks anyone that is against this is a grifter. So there you go. If you go to Canuck, if you go type his name in here, go to Canuck Letzia. He's done a fantastic job bringing up and analyzing this guy. If you want to know about David Fisman, look here. So, do we really think that the top donor for the trucking convoy is David Fisman? The David Fisman? I don't know. I think it's probably just someone making a joke, but one of the mainstream media companies went after Raymar Contracting, Concrete Forming. They chose them because they were an easy target to find. And apparently, they accepted some of this Canada wage subsidy, which went to every single company, which is part of the communist takeover of Canada. So they said, well, how are they donating $10,000 when they got their employees got the wage subsidy? Well, I think just about everyone in Canada except me took money from the government that they were giving out, because part of the takeover is they want to get people used to government money and in exchange for that, doing what they're told. That's why everyone and their dog in positions that you would think would never cave in are going for it. Churches and unions and you name it, they're all on the take. And this is all over North America. This is happening in the U.S. too. That's why all the churches are just collapsing, just caving in because to the mandates, because they get paid for this. It's a pretty simple formula. Pay someone and they'll do what you want. You pay them a lot, they'll do it for even longer and even promote it. Well, that's what's happening. So they went after these guys, but I made the tweet back to whoever the reporter was. I never heard of them. Just another one of the bought and paid for media. And I said to them, go to canucklaw.ca. She has gone through, extensively gone through all the people that have benefited, including lawyers, law firms, this is the reason why everyone is just bending over for this New World Order takeover of Canada, because they're all getting paid. Anyway, take a look at that. This is, she gets ad hominem attacks on her blog. And I would say that her blog is, I don't know how many hits it gets, probably more than mine, but I don't think too many people know about it. It's one of the few blogs in Canada that does really good investigative journalism. So take a look at it. I've had Ronnie on my show before. I'd like to get her back. I don't exactly know what she's up to, because I have emailed her a few times to come on the show, but she stopped responding, which is interesting. Don't know what it means. But it's just interesting. Let's put it that way. Hopefully she'll come back, but I still recommend her work and her blog, canucklaw.ca. All right, so going through my blog. This is a really heartfelt post that I put up here. Fakeologists can relate. Fakeologists can all relate. Your poly should say fakeologists. Take a look at her blog entry here. I don't know why she put it in a page form, because it didn't come into my feed. She's just saying that, well, look, she put up a donate box here. Maybe that's where I got, okay, maybe I did figure out, maybe I got donor box from her site, and maybe I did. Yeah, but donate to Amazing Polly. She is a really smart woman. Okay, so here's the quote that I identified with. She's talking about her journey into truth. And right now she's on a bit of a hiatus. She's just trying to recharge her batteries because there's a ton of negativity. Apparently she's a painter. So she talked about 9/11. I don't know what year she went into this. She doesn't really do many interviews. I'd like to get her on the show, but I don't know if she'll come on and talk about 9/11. So she went into 9/11. And this is the part that I wanted to identify with. And I'll read this passage here. The frustration I began to encounter was that I had absolutely nowhere to discuss any of this. Inside, I was very well read and had so many intellectual curiosities, but in day-to-day life, I was mom, wife, daughter, pal, office drone, who should know her place and stop talking about weird, boring, irrelevant, scary things and stick to picking out tiles for the new bathroom or admiring the tiles someone else had recently installed. Thankfully, at that time, I still found common ground with most people in my life. Indeed, we could still talk about bathroom tiles or vacations, movies, music, cooking, home renovations, projects without any trouble. For a long time, while I managed my double life, keeping my research life private like a spy who would have to do but still enjoying the company of friends, family, and society. I think many of us can relate to this. As I learned more, I could see more patterns I could project into the future, so to speak. That's when things became troublesome for me. I felt I could see where society was heading, and this naturally affected the way I planned, the way I communicated. It put up barriers between me and the people around me, though I wasn't really aware of it at the time. All I knew was that sometimes, for seemingly no reason, I would trigger people into blank stares or shock, or worst of all, concern for my well-being. I got this. I definitely got this. You see, I kept forgetting that they didn't know the things I knew. I must have sounded like an alien to them, or a stranger, or even just a worrywart who was harshing their mellow, instead of cheering them on for taking out a reverse mortgage or some such dangerous credit instrument. Maybe she's talking about her parents. Believe me, were the times I'd stop and ask myself if I was the problem. Was I being indoctrinated into some kind of cult, or being groomed into semi-insanity through the media I was consuming? Because although I felt perfectly sane, I could feel a shift happening, a divide opening up between myself and the culture I'd always lived and thrived on. To this day, I perform these reality checks. I ask, what do I know for sure? Back then, the answers ranged from, I know house prices are skyrocketing for no valid reason, and this is big trouble. Or, I know the culture is beginning to become toxic. Or, I know they are actively eliminating Christianity from the public sphere. Or, I know they are lying about 9/11. And if they lie about that, what won't they lie about? Now, that part I agree with. I also knew that 99% of the people around me couldn't see any of that, and they didn't want to see. In 2022, amid all the noise and fear-mongering, the answer which keeps me grounded is, I know that they are trying to force people into taking an experimental genetic therapy, and I know they are censoring a great deal of information and opinion. Anyway, I really identify with that piece. You can read the whole thing. It's well done. She has received many comments. So that's amazing, Polly. I've linked to many of her videos. She does a great job connecting the dots. She does great research. And looks like she's put her stuff on band.video. I'm not sure how you get on band.video. She went on the Quite Frankly show. I thought that was okay. I haven't seen this one, the John Waters show. Let's see, is she on that one? I don't know. This is just her recommended bunch of sites, I suppose. Vernon Coleman, Rosa Corey. Interesting. Let's see what she did with Rosa. What is this link? Oh, I see. She just related to Rosa's, linked to Rosa's site. Looks like an old site. Okay. Rose is an interesting person. Told she's off the theme, but she was telling much truth about Agenda 2030. And now we are watching it occur in real time. Let me just go over to FakeoTube chat. Northern Tracy, does anyone ever read these comments? Not so much, Tracy. Most are in the YouTube. And yeah, I think she left that comment yesterday. Don't forget, FakeoTube comments are persistent. So if you go to FakeoTube.com, you have an email login, you will see the comments. And they stick from show to show to show. All right, going back to the blog. So that's Amazing Polly. That was a good one. And then we have this Quiggin podcast. Definitely worth it. worth listening to, and a million links. He's on Telegram and Minds, spread all over the place. Take a look at this. This is another Mark Dice video. The guy does great man on the street stuff. And as I said here, I know this video could easily be selective editing, but one must wonder if this latest generation was engineered to be this ignorant or it's always been this ignorant. Either way, they're going to need Klaus to take care of them. It's obvious. So let's watch a little bit of the Dice Man. Ask people on the streets of California or on the beach near in California whether they would take his Canadian 1 ounce gold coin. We have a very famous mint in Canada. They do tons of good coins. If you're if you're a coin collector, you're a newsmistologist. I think I'm pronouncing that wrong. Watch this.
You have too many 1 ounce gold maple leaf coins laying around.
I'm not gonna go to Canada anytime soon.
You're not gonna go to Canada anytime.
I think I'm okay.
You're okay. Is it, the hat means that much to you?
No, I don't know how I'd spend a Canadian coin.
Are you on?
I don't live in Canada.
You don't live in
Canada. It has no value to me, right?
No value to you.
Yeah.
What you got in the bag?
Just some clothes.
Just some clothes.
Yeah, thrifting.
You want to sell them to me for this 1 ounce gold coin?
No.
Why not?
It's not the same value.
It's not the same value. How much are those clothes worth?
What was it?
Like $40.
$40?
$40.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sure?
It's tempting.
We're chilling.
Yeah.
I don't understand this Gen Z lingo. That means a no?
Yeah, we're cool. Yeah.
Octopus? Or jellyfish, that's right.
Jellyfish. And that's to eat?
It's a decorative rock. What's it, clear glass?
Yeah. Numismatologist.
Would you want to sell it to me for this Canadian maple leaf?
No, because it's my jellyfish.
No, it's hers.
I
bought it for her.
Oh, you bought it for her?
Yeah.
How much was it?
Like $25.
$25.
Cheap.
So that'd be like a big loss if you were to trade it for this gold coin.
Well, I don't know what gold's going for these days, so
I wouldn't have
an idea.
That's a nice hat you got.
Thank you.
You want to sell it to me for this Canadian maple leaf gold coin?
I do not.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Is it like
my hat?
Oh, you love your hat that much?
Yeah.
Is it like have special powers or something?
No, just I wear it pretty often. I like it.
You couldn't find a new one if you were to sell it to me for this.
I very easily could, but some things they just hold value, not because of the money, just because you like them.
The sentimental value is just too much?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a nice necklace you got there. Would you want to sell it to me for this Canadian 1 ounce gold coin?
We're in the United States.
What's that? Because we're in the United States?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do with Canadian gold coin in the United States? What's in the bag?
Workout clothes.
Workout clothes. You just get them?
Actually not workout clothes. They're like polos.
Polos. Work. You want to trade them for this Canadian 1 ounce maple leaf coin?
No. These are special.
Those are special?
Yeah.
Gold coin's special.
I don't know.
No, it's not?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think so? Not as special as a couple of polos.
Yeah. These are nice.
They're nice. All right. How much do they cost?
Like $50.
$50.
Yeah, this is about like 180.
What'd you say?
180?
Yes.
Oh, because you got a whole bunch of them? Okay. And so that definitely you don't want to trade those for this 1 ounce Canadian gold paper.
I don't know what that is.
It's a 1 ounce gold Canadian
paper. I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's a 1 ounce gold Canadian
No. No, I'm good.
What you reading?
I'm reading a book of James Nestor.
That's pretty good.
Breathe.
You want to trade it for this 1 ounce Canadian gold coin?
No, thank you.
No? It's that good of a book?
Yes.
It really
is.
Oh,
heck yeah.
It must be fantastic. Yeah. Okay. You're serious? You don't want to?
Totally.
You don't want to trade?
Yes.
You know, what are you going to do with the Canadian gold maple leaf coin?
No parlo italiano.
All right. There's 6 minutes of that. It's unbelievable. Now, it's really hard to believe that is fair editing. There must have been a few people that went for it. But I'm not sure. Let's see if my comment is still there. Right, here we go. Okay, my comment still persisted on there. Yeah, I guess people just either they don't trust people or really explaining in great detail what it was, a 1 ounce gold coin. Let's look up the price of gold. About $1,800 US, I believe. $2,336 Canadian. Let's look. That's about $1,800. So people literally did not want $1,848.82, whatever day this was. So that's pretty crazy. And to believe that the majority, a good chunk of the people, are that dumb. They just don't know. They just don't know some basic values. And I've said this every time I watch him go out on the street and talk to people, even if it's selective editing, it is a really scary cross-section of what is out there. Now, you can't just pick on California or wherever he is in California, Venice Beach, I think, but I just really wonder how far he has to go to get that list of people that are that ignorant. It's stunning. And if you like Mark Dice, I watch him on Rumble now. And I don't really go to YouTube very much anymore. All the good guys have left. And even though I pay for YouTube so I can play it in the background, if you're using Android, the Brave browser, which is what I'm using now, you can play video in the background of your browser now. So that means you can shut your phone off, or shut the screen off rather, and multitask, and it will play videos or audio in the background, which is super powerful. I don't know when that happened. Maybe it was there all the time and I didn't notice, but just recently I found the option to turn that on in the settings. So I've talked about that. So the Brave browser. Here's another website I go to almost every day. It's called, okay, this is a strange name, strange word, Bezuobu on Substack. I thought this was Bad Catitude, but it's actually another one. And here we go again with the, my head starts to explode with all these graphs. I don't know what these numbers are that they're basing the graphs on. But if you look at this one, oh, that's a little too big. You're just showing how, yeah, the curve has been flattened if you turn this graph 90 degrees clockwise. So the cases, the so-called cases in Israel have gone off the map. The cases of whatever, it doesn't even say, but if they're saying it's the cases of Omicron or whatever they're talking about in Israel now, they're off the charts. I think it's mainly because they cut down the number of sequence proteins from whatever the number was for Delta to, say Delta was 5, they cut it down to 4 or even 3 proteins in a row. So then almost everyone is, if they're tested, is going to be positive for this. Even though, of course, the test is not a test, it's an amplification process. And number two, just because you have this set of proteins that they call a sequence doesn't mean you're sick. It just means you have the sequence. But because people don't understand anything that I just said, if you are said you're positive, then people just automatically equate that as being sick, even if they have no symptoms, which is the normal way we decide if someone is ill or not. Anyway, so this is just the fun with numbers. And it's a pretty good blog or Substack. And I'll just zoom out and take another look at this. This is the original post. But for the most part, I don't care about any of these graphs anymore. We're well beyond this. We're well beyond this. This is just the distraction, as we've said all along, to bring in the medical or vax passports, which will control everything that you do in a technocratic society. But the injections, the sickness, it's all a complete sideshow. I noticed you didn't get a ton of comments on there. But there you go. That's a link to Bayes Zuobu. Let's go back to the blog. Okay, so that's yesterday's show with Tiago. I played this. Klaus has captured the West. That was yesterday. Even though I think that's true dope there. What else do we have? Should we go see? Yeah, let's go to Facebook now. What do we got? Here's Peter P or Peteru. Yeah, I think they kind of debunked the empty shelves. I watched a video today where someone went around the east end of Toronto. The shelves are not empty in our grocery stores. I guess maybe in some places they are, but you can easily attribute that to anywhere else. Any other reason, but right now I don't think it's a real thing. Okay, let us go take a look at Pat King, who is on the road. Where's the last video that he had? So this is the trucker convoy. And let's just play it here.
Yeah, this guy's a wrecker, right? So he's got a haul to go to the shop. We can pass this guy. That's not one of our trucks. Negative.
So this is Northern Ontario, where I live. This is hundreds of maybe
George,
1,000 miles
here,
away from me.
We got somewhere else we're going.
So you can
George,
see.
Move to your left.
They're getting lots of support. I'll just skip forward.
Why did the four-wheelers go in? That's what I was in 130.
Looks like they're stuck
like,
wherever they are.
We're getting messages from Topango right now. Hey, guys. That was the cutest thing in the world. So you got a little three-year-old kid, and I'm getting raked over the coals in the media right now for saying, F yeah. While there were little kids around, and this little kid's running down the street with a F Trudeau sign. He's 3 years old, and he's got an F Trudeau sign. I love you, Mom and Dad, whoever gave that little fella that. That's awesome. Hey, guys. Yeah.
What's down here?
Okay. Okay, George, we can go up there where they're at.
George.
Oh, well, go that way. I don't care. Go that way. I want food. I'm out of here. Hey, guys.
I want George.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
You guys are great. Awesome. Love it.
Love it, guys. All right.
This is the problem with this convoy. If this is a really big convoy, they're going to have a hard time finding places to park. And as you can see, all the roads, mainly in Ontario right now, are really narrow because there's so much snow piled up on the sides. So it's going to be interesting when they hit Ottawa, that's for sure. We're just going to skip forward and see. This is from a few hours ago.
Still crying.
Quite the convoy.
Thank you. No, I'm good. It's nice out. It's gorgeous out here. A lot better here, more weather. Yeah, you're ready. Right after him, go. Okay, go. Ooh. I didn't see you out of trailer. Ah, you're good. You're good.
All right, there you go. So this is really happening now, guys, in Kanakistan, and whether it'll make a difference or not, I don't know. Let me just take a peek here at the comments. Okay, nothing really exciting in the comments. All right, what else can I show you guys tonight? Let's take a look at that's Facebook. That's Pat King. Let's just see the rest of the stuff on Facebook. I'll just take a peek over here. I guess we can check into the Kevin J. Johnson show, even though Kevin is not on it.
Anyways, what's going on in Ottawa? You guys got what? A dozen
alive. And kudos to all the truck drivers, all the people part of the convoys, all the individuals that are lining the streets, like in the middle of nowhere, to give people food, to give them shelter, to give them beverages. And just most of all, give them love. Like, this is a real heart-driven mission, and I'm behind it 100%.
Well, a couple things are going to happen. We know they were going to slam the economy. They've been trying to do it now for over a year. Mm-hmm. And part of this plan, it's all laid out, right? Next is martial law. So I'm reaching out to everyone and saying, guys, you got to be on your best behavior. If you see someone doing something wrong, if you see someone even step on the grounds of the Parliament building, take them off.
Right.
If you see someone trying to attack Trudeau's office, pull them away, because that's going to be Antifa.
Right.
And
right.
They're going to pull a false flag. They're going to try to blame us all for this. Truckers are trying to just bring awareness to what's actually going on. And we want all the COVID mandates lifted. If you want to take the jab, take the jab.
Right.
If you want to be part of a lab experiment, be part of an experiment. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Your body, right. Your choice.
At the end of the day, I feel exactly like you do. I don't care if it's pure poison. I mean, you could put gasoline into your veins. I don't care. I just don't want to have to do it. And I don't want to have to suffer any repercussions for not doing it either.
We have computer issues, obviously.
All right. So that's the Kevin J. Johnson show. I like Ed. Cool, Ed trip. Actually gets
so
the whole.
Get on that one. He says it's safe.
Ed actually gets it
on.
When it comes to what's happening in the world. So definitely recommend that you take a look at that. Okay. Why don't I go to Twitter, see what's going on my Twitter feed. And just skip around over there for a bit. There's usually tons of stuff. Okay. Lots of support from the U.S. Joe Rogan's talking about it. That's interesting. Let's hear that.
Huge. Look at my group forever. This is my action scene outside of Edmonton heading to Calgary.
I'm not sure where we come up with these crazy numbers. 50,000.
It's a giant convoy of trucks that's apparently some insane amount of people, like 50,000 trucks. That are headed to Ottawa to protest the vaccine mandates, Trudeau.
And they're all coming from Canada. Because
they're all in Canada. They're all in Canada. It's all Canadian truckers. Because apparently they're all being mandated that they have to get vaccinated. And they're like, hey, we don't even contact anybody. Your country's in revolt. Do you know about this? Show this video. Look at this video that I sent Jamie.
I don't know who he's interviewing there. Let's keep going here. There's our Prime Minister of Ontario, Doug Ford, pushing the injection. Never stops here. I'm just keeping going here. So many ads on Twitter. It's really pathetic. All right, here's a doctor actually complaining that he's seeing patients for the first time that should be treated for things like skin cancer, that because the doctor doesn't actually see anybody, that they're missing out on all kinds of diagnosis. Here we go, Laura Ingraham. Let's see what she's saying.
Basically, for the last 2 years, we've had a prime minister who has vaccine derangement syndrome, where every day he stands up at the stump and that's all he talks about. He doesn't talk about the economy. He doesn't talk about the supply chain. He doesn't talk about, you know, us losing our rights, lockdowns, nothing. It's just straight vaccines. But what's happening, Laura, is right now in Canada, we have one of the biggest revolutions happening, and you probably haven't heard about it because nobody's talking about it. But right now there's 50,000 truckers and about 1.4 million people headed to the parliament in Ottawa, and they're gonna stay there until Trudeau resigns or they give us back all of our freedoms and rights. You know, when you separate people, it's easy to, you know, to create power through separation.
Theo Fleury has done quite a good job. He's quite an active account there.
With these truckers, and it honestly, it has ignited the whole entire country of Canada. And I know that, you know, I've been spending a lot of time on social media helping, you know, promote the truckers and getting their word out and all of that. And so even I, you know, big tough hockey player, have, you know, shed a few tears because I haven't seen my country this behind something and this excited about something in a very, very, very long time. So hopefully
it takes a lot to, you know, Theo, it takes a lot to get the Canadians angry. I mean, it's like Minnesota nice. And if Minnesota is nice, Canada is like jubilant all the time because they just, it's not a protest culture in Canada, correct?
Right. Well, that's the thing is, in Canada, you know, we're considered really nice and all these things. But the thing about Canadians is eventually, you know, our fuse, our long, long fuse.
All right. So there's Theo Fleury. I like that guy. Okay. Yeah. Steve from Spacebusters, he lives in Copenhagen, and he told me that they are going to lift all restrictions next week, which is why he's going to be busy in his bar, apparently. Apparently the bars are open until 5 a.m. normally in Copenhagen. That's pretty cool. Okay, the CFIB, I guess they're not getting enough government money. They've called for the end of the vaccine mandate for trucking. No kidding. Okay, we played this report by the Crime Sinister of Canada, whichever one that is. Many people think there's two of them, at least. Okay, these are setting off fireworks at one of the drive-thrus. That was pretty cool. I like the trucks with the train horns on them. I had that one. Okay, so here we go. So we're just going through my Twitter right now. I don't think it's 50,000 vehicles, but it's probably a lot, but who knows? Here's some drone footage. I guess it doesn't really matter how many. Don't forget, there's four different convoys. They're focusing right now on the convoy from the West Coast, which is the longest and greatest distance. Keep going here. Just playing a lot of videos. I haven't even seen this one with Klaus Schwab. God, this guy drives me nuts.
I just would like to highlight what you said about the European Chips Act, because it's an important step to create the physical brain for digitalization and to have it located to a certain extent in Europe. I also, your reference to the Club of Report, Rome Report, the forum at that time.
This guy is having the time of his life because his little plan, his little club of young globalists are now in power all over the place, plus the public health infrastructure that he set up parallel to all the governments. It's in full swing. We're being led around by octogenarians. I mean, these are the older baby boomers, the oldest. Klaus Schwab, Fauci, Joe Biden, they're all around 80 years old. How long, like, I know that the human being should be able to live to 130, and these guys probably eat the best food and, of course, don't inject themselves. But how long are these guys going to be around? Are they going to be around to see what happens in the next few years? I really hope not. So here's this absolute creepy looking gnome, our transport minister. I'm not playing that. I don't want to hear anything that he has to say about anything. And Donald Trump Jr., not that I'm a big fan, but what's he saying?
Can it dissolve before our very eyes? Things that got you canceled a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago or even a couple of years ago for people like myself who are maybe ahead of some of the tyranny and calling it out, it's all going away. And now it's going away in Canada, where there are truckers getting together to fight against medical discrimination. There's a convoy of trucks, tractor trailers now assembling in Canada that right now is 70 kilometers long. I'm going to play the video at the end of this thing so you can see for yourself. Because when we get together and when we stand together and when we push back against the insanity, we can win. And that's how this all ends. Okay. So this is a genius idea. We need to see more of this here in the US, and we need to see more of it in the countries like Canada, like New Zealand, like Australia, that were probably perhaps known or at least thought of as free countries. That could totally be gone right now. I mean, what I've seen out of those countries is absolutely insane. And what's going on right here in the U.S. is absolutely insane. So let's support these truckers fighting for freedom, fighting as patriots in their country and patriots in America.
All right. Well, I agree. Let's keep it going. All right, well, I'm just going through my Twitter now. I don't really have too much more to talk about tonight. I'm just basically reading all this like everyone else. It's hard to keep up, guys, and I do my very best. Let me just take a quick peek on FakeoTube chat. Nothing there. Maybe I'll end with Amanda Vollmer. I'm going to end with Amanda Vollmer. She always has a lot of good stuff to say about viruses and the nature of illness. So take a listen to this. I'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, and we can go over some more posts. Tomorrow's the end of the week for the show. And don't forget, Sunday, we're going to try and watch Space Busters videos. So make sure you watch Steve's Space Buster videos if you can. And get up to date. And then if you have any questions, you can certainly call in and talk about it with them. So don't forget, if you like this show, fakeologist.com/donate. Make sure you join our sites, fakeologist.com/forums2, the Discord, the Telegram. That's where I hang out. If you have anything to email, ima@fakeologist.com. That's my email. And any tips or any interesting things you want me to look at, just send them to my email before any other form. I do look at Twitter and Telegram, but I'm mostly on point with email, which is the best, most reliable, most long-lasting method of decentralized communication. So hold on to it and switch over to Proton Mail or anything other than Gmail if you want to get all my alerts. All right, here is Amanda, and have a good night.
Look, you can call something virus isolation all you want. You can use the word isolation, but it doesn't mean what you think it means. And these are just some of the tricks that virologists, immunologists, and these types of scientists, if you want to even call them that, what they do to make it sound like they are actually finding a viral particle, taking it out of the cell, measuring it, taking pictures of it, identifying it, and then proving that it causes a disease in a host. That is not what is done. And I urge you to go look up the methods that they use for viral isolation. And you'll see that it says clearly in the abstracts that it's a technique by which they are using specific cells and encouraging the cells to produce the virus that they think they're looking for. And then they are using methods of extraction of the product of encouraging that particular cell or cell line to create these particles and filtering them out of the rest of the junk. And that's virus isolation. But that does not prove that you have a virus that is an infection type of organism that will go into a cell of the body and cause a disease. They are very different in their understanding. And no virus has actually ever been isolated and properly cataloged ever in history. And people don't realize this fact. So when they are trying to figure out a viral particle, what they're calling viral particle, they're taking cell lineages or cell lines, and they will pick different cell lines depending on the virus they're trying to actually produce. They will then add in medium, food, drugs, other stimulants to work to produce the effect. Then they use different kinds of marker systems or staining systems and try to find the nucleic acid particle that they think they're trying to find. And then they isolate it from other materials and they're saying they have the virus. It's a con show because they can take any type of cell, strain it and stress it, and then find or manufacture these particles based on their methods. It's very, very poor science when you take cell lineages, make them sick, create these waste particles, which is all these viruses are, and then say you found a virus. It's not good science, and they refuse to admit that they are manufacturing these particles and make believing that they are disease-causing living agents when they are simply not. Educate yourself, my friends.